today as we come to the table.
Judas leaves from there and goes and turns him in. We'll get to that later. Not today, but later. Shows up at the garden, and the first thing he says to him is what? Friend, why have you come? They both knew why he came. Jesus wanted to be his friend. Judas admitted his mind he already wasn't going to be. Guys, this is God's love. It transcends anything we understand in the natural realm and even any emotions that we might have in a natural way. His love is supernatural. He did it anyway. This is what he wants us to do, to love regardless of feelings and to love regardless of what we know or don't know and to serve, serve, serve. That's what the Lord calls us to do.
It can be hard for many of us to humble ourselves, even to serve our friends and families, you know, people we love and who love us. So how much harder is it to go out of your way to serve someone who is actively betraying you? Well, that's exactly what Jesus did. He knew what Judas was up to, yet he didn't exclude him when he humbly washed his disciples' feet. Well, thanks for taking the time to join us as we come to the table, the daily Bible study program of Mark Kirk, Senior Pastor of Calvary Knoxville. You know, Jesus' example is challenging, to say the least, because it goes completely against the grain of our sinful nature, because our selfish hearts tell us to get even when someone crosses us. We even sacrifice close relationships over petty disagreements. Yet, Jesus would have welcomed Judas back if he came back in repentance. Now, let's join Pastor Mark in the book of John, chapter 13, as he continues showing us Jesus, the ultimate servant.
Can you imagine the shock in their eyes? In their heart, looking at Jesus going, what's he doing? I kind of look, I can imagine in my mind, I'll live these things out. Looking around, what's he doing? He's going to wash our feet. You're kidding me. And they're all thinking, oh, we should have done that. But now he's going to do that. And this is really awkward. Okay. Oh, how do we handle this? What do we do? This is the setting. So number one, if you're taking notes mentally or any other way, the first thing, if you're going to be a servant of the Lord, recognize the need. And if you don't recognize the need, pray and say, God, show me what needs are around me that I could be serving in. I don't really see a need. Looks like they've got plenty on the worship team. I think the kids' ministry is probably full. Everybody's serving in women's ministry, men's ministry. There are plenty of kids yet. Wait a minute. You need to say, God, where's the need? What would you have me do? What do you want me to be involved in? And then let God lead you in that, and God will. And so he does that. But notice then after that, after he recognizes the need, this is your number two. Again, if you're taking notes, the second thing in practical servanthood is he rose from supper. He rose from supper. Notice this. That is the bottom line is, once we recognize the need, now we get up and do something. Rise up. You know, we don't just sit back and go, oh, somebody needs to do that. Somebody needs to take care of that. We're somebody. We're somebody. I remember one time with one of my daughters, I was teaching, I said, nobody do this. Nobody do this. Nobody do it. And so the camera wasn't running, I don't think, or they didn't hear part of the conversation. It's one of those family films. And then right afterwards, I didn't even know what it was, and I told the girls not to do it. They were all little, and Abby did whatever it was I said not to do. And it's up, I'm on film going, Abby, you're nobody. And what I meant was this, I'm talking to you too. That's what I meant. But it sounded like on the video, her daddy just told her she's nobody. But again, you're somebody. You're somebody. Somebody needs to do it. You're somebody. Step up. Step up to the plate. If you see the need, step up and say, God, how can I serve in that need? A lot of times God will reveal the need to you because he wants you to step up and do it. And you're waiting for somebody else to. Why don't we have a ministry that blah, blah? How come somebody doesn't? And God goes, I've been waiting. Really? Yeah, you're the one. Oh, should have kept my mouth shut, right? God may be speaking to somebody this morning saying, you're the one. I've called you to do it. You need to do it. So you need to rise up. Jesus took action. He rose up and got going. But notice also, and this is key, before he started serving, He laid aside the garment that he was wearing and put on something different. Here's the third thing I want to encourage you when it comes to service, and that is this. You need to lay aside the old ways of the world and put Christ on. Lay aside the old garments and say, Lord, you know what? I've been walking long enough this way in the world. I'm going to walk with you and in you now. Because if you're not willing to lay aside the things you're doing that you know are wrong, God's never going to be able to use you. You can be saved. You know the Lord. You're in the kingdom. But you're holding on to these things that you know are wrong, these sins you need to let go, and you're continuing to do that. And God says, I want to use you, but I can't use you until you lay that garment aside and put on a new garment. And that's the point. You have to do that. It says in Ephesians 4, 22 through 24, Paul exhorting the Ephesians, he says that you put off concerning your former conduct, the old man, which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and you be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on, notice you have to take something off, but you put on something else, put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and true holiness. If you're going to be used as a servant for the Lord, you got to lay aside the stuff that's hindering you, the weights that so easily beset, as the Bible says. And say, now I'm going to serve the Lord. Here we go. It's time to do this. I'm make a choice. I'm moving, no longer living the way I've been living. I'm moving forward. And if you do that, God will give you the power to do it. That's the Lord we serve. And so I love this here too, because notice he wrapped himself in a towel. The next thing to notice is he put himself in the attire of a servant or a slave. The slaves would wrap themselves in towels so you could identify them as a slave. And they would use the towel to do whatever they needed as far as cleanup and whatever service they were doing. And now we see the Lord again having all this position and authority saying, you know what? I'm going to take on the form, the visible form of a servant. I'm going to do the things necessary to be a servant. And I'm going to show you that I'm prepared and I'm ready. And this is another thing that we have to do, guys. If we're going to be used by the Lord, here's the next thing to take note of. You've got to be ready to be used. You're never going to be used by the Lord if you don't gird on the towel. Mark, what do you mean? You've got to get ready. You've got to put yourself in a position where you can be used. Last week, we talked about one of the main areas in being a servant is availability. If you're not available, you can't be used as a servant. So you look at your life, you find out, God, what can I do to rearrange my life so that I'm not so busy, so that I can be available, and then you get ready. And if you're ready, the Lord can call on you. And when the Lord calls on you, you step forward in servanthood. That's how it works. And I love this whole picture here, what he was about to get down and wash their feet. Guys, this is something that, you know, again, Judas was still there. Judas hadn't left yet. He didn't leave till after this. Jesus even washed the feet of his betrayer. Wow. What a picture of love. What a picture of brokenness. What a picture of humility to say, you know what? This guy hates me, but I'm still going to serve him. And why would he do that? Because it's his kindness, the Bible says, that leads us to repentance. Now, we'd love to see that and say that Judas repented. He didn't. But Jesus was giving him every chance. I'm loving you, Judas. I'm loving you. I'm even washing your feet. You know, when he came to Judas, you have to think when he came to Judas, they looked at each other. And they both knew. Judas knew what was in his heart. And he had no doubt he knew Jesus knew what was in his heart. Can you imagine how that would have felt? Looking at the Lord and washing your feet and going, I'm about to turn you in and have you crucified. And not saying a word, and then letting him do it. Wow. And the Lord knowing that and still doing it. I wonder, you know, if he's washing his feet, you know, it's like, well, I'm supposed to do this, so wash your feet. Oh, is that sharp? Sorry, Judas, you know. Not only did Judas not recognize any difference in the way he did it, none of the other disciples did. You know, he washed Judas's feet rather roughly. Did you notice that? I don't know. Yeah. Nobody said a word. Nobody said a word. He just loved him. And he went on. Gets to the garden. Remember later on that evening, gets to the garden. Judas leaves from there and goes and turns him in. We'll get to that later. Not today, but later. Shows up at the garden. And the first thing he says to him is what? Friend, why have you come? They both knew why he came. Jesus wanted to be his friend. Judas had made up his mind he already wasn't going to be. Guys, this is God's love. It transcends anything we understand in the natural realm, and even any emotions that we might have in a natural way. His love is supernatural. He did it anyway. This is what he wants us to do, to love regardless of feelings and to love regardless of what we know or don't know, and to serve, serve, serve. That's what the Lord calls us to do. Took the towel, girded himself. Look at verse 5. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet. That's what the Lord does. He washes us. And to wipe them with the towel with which he was girded. Notice he poured the water in the basin, began to wash their feet. What's the next step in servanthood? Not rising up and getting ready, but actually doing it. He actually did it. He didn't just get ready for it. He actually started washing feet. He's like, you know what? I've been waiting. I've been knowing I need to step out and serve, and I'm just going to do it. Listen, God is speaking to some of you this morning. I know that because how he's orchestrated the last 2 weeks. He's saying to some of you this morning, go for it. It's time. You've waited long enough. The kids are old enough now. They don't need you as much. The job is lessened off. You're not as busy as you were. It's time. Step forward and serve. And God will let you know when that time is. He calls all of us to do it, but I understand and I recognize there are different seasons, but the Lord gives us the example by saying, do it, and he was prepared to do it when the time came, as we talked about. It says, then he came to Simon Peter. So he's working his way around the room, and finally he comes to Simon Peter, and here's Peter watching this whole thing, processing it in his mind, thinking, this is crazy. We should be washing his feet. We should have washed everyone's feet. How am I going to handle this? He comes to Peter, and Peter, again, being very emotional and very passionate and very vocal, Lord, are you washing my feet? Again, in other words, only slaves do this. This is not right culturally. You're the Lord. And Jesus answered and said to him, what I'm doing, you do not understand now, but you will know after this. Now, this is key here. What he's saying is, it wasn't about washing feet. If it was about washing feet, he wouldn't have said, you don't understand this now. I mean, it's pretty clear, washing feet, everybody understands that. You're washing feet. No, he's making a point. It's not about washing feet. It's about serving one another, whatever that means. Now, there are those today that still feel like we're supposed to, maybe in some kind of church rituals, wash feet and all that. I don't have a problem with that. If somebody wants to do that, there's nothing wrong in it, and it can be very humbling and a very sweet ceremony done in the right context or whatever the case might be, but that's not what he's asking us to do. He's not saying you're supposed to be washing everyone's feet. He's making a point. He's saying, you'll understand later what I'm doing. I'm giving you an example. Serve each other and serve in the most menial ways. Do it. It can be a very practical way. You're mowing your grass, and you know what? You got time, and you just kind of pour out into your yard of your neighbor, and you mow their grass, and they come home and their grass is mowed. I'm like, why'd you do that? You know what? God just wanted me to show you his love today. He loves you. Put it in my heart, so I did it. You know, doesn't it be anything fancy? Wow, it makes an impact. You're being a servant. That you just washed your neighbor's feet. That's what that means. And so the Lord says, you'll understand this later, Peter. You don't understand this now, but you're going to understand there's a deeper meaning to this. You need to let me do this. Now watch what Peter does. Peter says, you will never wash my feet. You know, again, I love Peter's zeal. And there's probably going to be pride issues and other things going on. But a lot of it is just this seems so wrong. And Jesus answered and said, if I do not wash you, you have no part with me. Peter, you can't be my follower if you don't let me wash you. And again, what a truism that is for us. If we don't let the Lord wash us, we can have no part in him. We have to allow the Lord to change us and the Lord to wash us. He says, there's no part. You know, Simon Peter saying, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Now here comes that passion of Peter again that you've got to love. Again, he made lots of mistakes, but look at this zeal. Just dunk me. I'll take it all. If that means that I want you so much, Jesus, whatever it means to have all of you, do it. I love that heart. Peter was the guy saying, I want all of you and you've got all of me and let's go for it. We need hearts like that. That's a great heart to have. And I love it because Peter stepped out and yes, he made some mistakes and here he made a mistake until the Lord corrected him. But I would much rather us step out and make some mistakes than not do anything at all. Pray for some passion. You know, we have different personalities. I mean, I know that. Some of us are very excitable. Some of us are very stoic. You know, you're just sitting there, you know, like old Duke and you're not even moving, but you're excited as can be. There's nothing wrong in that. It's just different personalities. But in that excitement, do something with it. Show some passion for the Lord. Doesn't mean you have to be excitable or act a certain way. Be who you are, but do something with it. And so, you can't have any part of me if you don't do it. Peter's like, go for it then. I want everything you've got. And I love that heart. And Jesus said, and he has to correct him now. Let me explain this in other words. Jesus has said to him, he who is bathed, that is, you're in the Lord, you've been cleansed by the blood, you're forgiven. He who is bathed needs only to wash his feet, but is completely clean. And you are clean, but not all of you. Now, several things to note here. First of all, what is the Lord talking about? What's his point? He's saying this, look, if you've given your life to the Lord, you're forgiven, you're going to heaven, but we walk around in a very dirty world. And sometimes it's, look, I have enough thoughts that pop in my mind that I go, ooh, now why am I thinking that? Is that my stinking flesh? Could be. Or is that the enemy? Could be. Either way, there it is. That just happens. Or something you see on TV, you're like, I didn't need to see that. Or something here, I didn't need to hear that. It's dirt getting on our spiritual feet. The Lord is making a point. You're forgiven. You're still going to heaven, but you're all just muddied up from the world. So you need to have your feet cleansed. And guys, how do we do that? The end of the day, Lord, wash me clean, forgive me, cleanse my mind, cleanse my heart, cleanse me. You can do it throughout the day. But I mean, especially what I try to do on a regular basis is before I go to bed, I say, Lord, just cleanse me. Forgive me of thoughts I shouldn't have had today. Forgive me of things I shouldn't have seen, shouldn't have heard, didn't want to be a part of. I hate that. God, just wash me clean. And God washes. That is a spiritual foot washing. And his point is, we need that daily. You need that every day. This is Sunday. You came to church. Something's going to happen today. You're going to need to be cleansed. And you need to be washed. It's just a part of the process. So he's trying to teach them this, is that, you know what, there's a physical thing I'm showing you, but there's a spiritual truth to this that you need to understand. Paul said in Ephesians 5:26, speaking of Jesus, his relationship to the church, he said that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of the water of the word. So it's not just cleanse, it's being purified and getting the mind of Christ. So notice this threefold process. Guys, notice this. First of all, we are fully cleansed by his blood at the cross. If you've given your life to the Lord, you're fully cleansed, you're going to heaven. You're clean. But now you're walking around in a dirty world, and you get dirt on you, and you have to sometimes go into that mud to reach the lost. If you're going to reach the lost, you're going to get a little bit muddy, guys. That's just how it is. And so what happens when that happens? Then you're daily rinsed, your feet are washed by confession. I'm clean in the Lord, I know him, but God, wash me clean it today. Yuck. Just get that out of my brain. Just wash me, Lord. You're daily cleansed by confession. And then lastly, then you're purified. That is made more like God day to day by the washing of the water of the word. Even as he poured that water in the basin and began to wash them, the Lord washes us. And as we go to God and let him wash our feet, Lord, forgive me of today. Forgive me of that. Forgive me of those thoughts. Forgive me. He's washing us. And so we're being cleansed, already solidified in heaven, but now being cleansed, but we're being purified. He's making us more like him. It's that daily renewing of the mind of Christ and being clean. You know, I find it interesting that even in the Old Testament, even in the temple, the priests, get this, before the priests, because this brings us to our next principle, before the priests could go into the temple and serve, and this really ties to the principle we've already covered, before they could go do that, they had to wash their feet. It was symbolic. They literally had these lavers outside the temple, and they would have to sit down outside these lavers. They would turn the lavers on. They would wash their feet, and they would enter into the temple of God now to serve the Lord with clean feet. The disciples knew this. The culture knew it. Jesus is making a point. I want you to be servants. You're going to get dirty from day to day. You're going to feel like you're not worthy to serve me. I can't tell you how many times before I get in this pulpit, I'll go around the corner. I'll say, God, I'm not worthy to be up here teaching. I don't deserve to be up here teaching. But I'm going to ask that you forgive me of thoughts I shouldn't have, and I'm going to ask that you wash me clean before I go out there for your body's sake, for your people, not for me, forget me. It's not a popularity contest, but you love your bride, and I ask you to do it. And I can't tell you how many times right after I've blown it really bad, and then I pray, and I come teach you guys, and I can feel God's anointing. I'm like, why are you anointing me? I had dirty feet, just why are you anointing me? Because you wash your feet. And you said, even though my feet were dirty, I'm going to wash them, and I'm going to go and I'm going to serve God's people. So don't ever think you're not worthy to serve. Of course you're not. Nobody is. There's not a person in this room worthy to serve. We are sinners saved by grace who every day get dirty feet. But we need to be honest about it, go to the Lord, confess it, have our feet washed, and then go for it. So here I am, dirty feet and all, but now they're clean because you washed them. And let's do it. And now I can wash other people's feet. It's kind of like where the Lord said, hey, remove the log from your own eye before you try to get the speck out of your brother's eye. Take care of business first. The priests would wash their feet before they went in. Before you come to serve, wash your feet. That's the bottom line. And so again, we understand what it means now. The Lord has shown us what it means. But at this time, they were just learning what it meant and learning to apply it. And so you're clean. Notice verse 11, for he knew who would betray him. He says, not all of you are clean. I want you to notice that. Not all of you. For he knew who would betray him. Therefore, he said, you are not all clean. Who's he talking about? Of course, he's talking about Judas. Judas could have been clean, but Judas was rejecting. He didn't want to be clean. He was just playing a game. He was doing the religious thing, and he didn't mean anything by it or didn't mean any of it. He simply wanted to betray the Lord for whatever the purpose is, how Satan had put it in his heart, and he made himself available to be used that way. So when he had washed their feet, taking his garments and sat down again, he said to them, do you know what I've done to you? See, at this point, they didn't fully grasp it, but he's going to further explain now. This was a picture of servanthood. I want you to understand what servanthood is. He says, verse 13, you call me teacher and Lord, and you say, well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and your teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. And here comes the crux. Look at this. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. What you saw, do it. And you'll understand more later, because there's going to be situations where you can't wash anybody's feet and you won't even have the opportunity to, and I'm going to ask you to serve, and it's going to click. And go, hey, this wasn't about washing feet. This was about serving. And yeah, that job may be a little bit yucky, but I'm going to do it. And see, that's what we're called to do. That's how the Lord is with us, and that's how he wants us to be with each other. We should be looking for ways that we can serve, looking for ways that we can honor each other that way and love each other that way. Look at verse 16. Most assuredly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master. So if I've done this, you certainly can. Nor is he who is sent greater than he who sent him. Note this, two things to know as we finish here in verse 17. If you know these things, number one, if you know them, now you do. If you know these things, number two, blessed are you if you do them. If you do them. What does it say in James 1:22? But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. It's one thing to know we ought to serve. It's another thing entirely to do it. Now, let me just say this. If you're at a season of your life where you're a mom and you've got a bunch of little kids at home and you're changing diapers all the time, you are serving. You're serving the next generation and you're serving the Lord. Don't feel guilty because you can't step out and serve. I'm simply speaking of those of us who have the availability to serve, the time to serve. God is moving in our heart to serve, but we're not doing it. Why? Don't do it out of guilt. Don't do it out of because your pastor said it. I didn't teach this the last 2 weeks. Jesus did, because I didn't orchestrate this. So the Lord is saying to you, serve. Where do you want to serve? Why won't you serve? What's going on? But he's not doing it out of guilt, out of love. It's his kindness that leads us to repentance. It's the Lord's kindness that motivates us. And so I think what the Lord would say to us, I know what the Lord is saying to us, and what we've seen the last 2 weeks is, let's get going. Let's serve. Now, last week, somebody said, well, where can we serve? This week, we have a list of places to serve out there at the welcome booth. There's a list out there of areas in the church you can serve. It might be something you pray and say, God, none of these areas feel like where I should be. Where do you want me to serve? And God moves you in another way to serve. But in one way or another, or in one place or another, there's going to be somewhere that God will move in your heart that you can serve. But here's the main thing, and I want to finish with this, and I know we're short on time. I'll be quick. Here's the bottom line. If you don't start at home, you're never going to be able to be used in God's kingdom very well. What do I mean? We need to be serving at home. Husbands, serve your wives. Help them. You know, I mean, help them with the dishes every so often. Help them vacuum a floor. Find out what the needs are and be involved in doing that. Now, wives, on the husband's behalf, try not to ask him to do it during the NFL playoff. Because it's going to cause tension. It's going to cause tension. It's like, why are you asking me now? Okay, well, you heard the pastor today. Oh, I hate that church. Don't put your husband in that situation. Don't do something. But you know what? Husbands, if your wife needs help, then help her. And what would happen if she did come during that time? Again, it shows where our heart is. Kids, serve your parents. Hey, maybe clean the room up without being asked to. I said that first service, and this eruption of laughter broke out. But I'm being serious. Why not? Why not? Why not just surprise your parents and like, your room's clean again? Yep. Wow. Okay, thank you. I'm not going to ask the wives to serve because I know you already are. Because that's what you do. Women just serve. That's why when we have women's events, it's packed out. We have men's events, we have to say, please come, guys, please. That's the truth. It's time to start serving.
That ends our time at the table of God's Word for today. Pastor Mark is taking us through the book of John, the last of the four Gospels in the New Testament. This book follows Jesus through his ministry while he was here on earth, but gives you a unique perspective from one of Jesus' apostles. John paints a picture for you of the Son of God, a Savior who has all the authority and power of heaven. And we're so glad you tuned in to discover this testimony of our Lord, and we hope you'll continue to join us. Do you have a question about what you heard today? We're here to answer them. You can call 865-609-1385 or visit the Pastor Mark Kirk page on Facebook or visit the contact page on PastorMarkKirk.com. And if you're in the Knoxville area, we'd love to meet you. Here's Pastor Mark to tell you more.
If you don't have a home church, I'd love for you to come and join us this Sunday morning at either our 9:30 or 11:15 services. We also have a Bible study on Sunday evenings at 6:00.
a 7 p.m. service on Wednesday, as well as activities for kids, youth, and college throughout the week. No matter what time you can come, each time we get together is a sweet time of community and learning about God. If you'd like more info about who we are and what we do, just go to PastorMarkKirk.com and click on Our Church in the menu.
Thanks, Pastor Mark, and we hope you can join us next time as we continue our verse-by-verse study of John the next time we come to the table. Come to the Table is a radio outreach ministry of Calvary Knoxville.